So last week we took a break to talk about shiduchim, but let's go back to our original topic, which is the bitachon and the machlokas rishonim, what the definition of bitachon is. So the first 2 weeks, we spent discussing a little bit the position of the Chazon Ish and his chibur emuna bitachon, which is the position of Rabbeinu Yonah, the position of the Chovos HaLevavos, that bitachon is simply an expression of emuna, expression of belief, but doesn't involve an assumption that just because you believe in Hashem, that things are going to work out the way you want them to work out, the way you expect them to work out. And then last time, we read the initial hakdama of the chibur of Rishonim of emuna v'bitachon, which is Miyuchas to Ramban, perhaps the Rivash, that appears in Kisvei Rivash, that takes the position that there's a stronger connection, as he puts it. You can have emunah without bitachon, you cannot bitachon without emunah. And his understanding of bitachon is that a person has a belief that Hashem runs the world, and therefore, if he has the proper frame of mind, Hashem will do whatever he wants Hashem to do, and things will work out for the best, essentially, as the individual sees them to be. So that's where we left off after reading that initial piece in the Chibur printed in the Kisvei Ramban. We'll embellish that a little bit today and see initially how that's reflected in the Maharal. The Maharal, in his Nesivos Olam, one of the briefer Nesivos in Nesivos Olam is the Nesiv HaBitachon, which in the classic printing is all of 4 and a drop pages. The Maharal there seems to fit into this camp that Bitachon involves an understanding that Hashem is going to provide for what a person's needs are as he sees them. He understands in that light 2 famous Gemaras. Number one, the famous Gemara in Brachas Daf Samach about, actually will come, yes, 3 Gemaras. He understands the Gemara in Brachas about Rabbi Akiva. Actually, we'll start, let's go backwards. The Gemara in Tanis of Nachum Ish Gamzu, the famous story of Nachum Ish Gamzu, who was caught in a difficult situation where his treasures were stolen and he was forced to confront the king with a box full of dirt. And through his Gamzu Lutova philosophy, that box of dirt ended up saving him and turning into either literal or figurative or symbolic arrows that helped the king vanquish his enemies. So the Maharal understands, based on that Gemara, Bir Inyan Zeh, Ki Balomer Kama Gadol Midas HaBitachon Ba Yisbarach, and Nachum Ish Gamzu was the champion of Bitachon. Inachum Ish Gamzu Hayala Midas HaBitachon, Sha'af Davar Shahaya Nira Ra Haya Batech Ba Yisbarach. Even something that appeared to be bad, and every indication, if you look around, is that this is not going to end well for him. Nevertheless, through his bitachon, he believed, understood, that Hashem will make it work out for the best. The marsha yet elav l'tov, that he understood through bitachon that Hashem will turn a situation that ostensibly is ra into a situation that's going to be bitov. V'chashir lachu mimenu masha rasa lahavi daron alamelach amar gamzu l'tova. V'niach afar ki rasa laharas amelach es asher asu v'asher ganvu adaron mimenu. V'lakash shasa ki ilu hayasham od hadaron v'kashir balasham pasach aso ki ilu lo yada v'yaz hayirosa lahagin mashin asalo v'kashir asa ken kasa amelach ki ilu hemenu lef klasha ganvu adaron mimenu. He goes on to explain the story in this light. Similarly, he understands the episode of Rabbi Akiva, who went into the city and lost his chicken and lost his candle and was left in the forest with nothing, and then discovered after the fact that the city was plundered and he would have been killed had he left in the city, had he been left in the city. So there also, the Maharal explains that when Rabbi Akiva said, "Komad Avid Rachmanu Latav, ki hu boteach b'Hashem, ki mashenatzal Latav Avid, So ostensibly, the situation Akiva found himself in was ra, and for anyone who didn't have that midas habitachon, it would have ended up bad for him as well. It's only because Akiva had that bitachon that a situation that's ostensibly bad could be turned into good, that in fact was turned into good on his behalf. Then the morale is a slightly more nuanced understanding of the position of Hillel. Gemara in Brachos Daf Samech Tan Rabbanan Maisa Behillel Zaken Shaya Babaderech V'Shama Kol Tzavcha. So you heard the commotion in the city. The Amr Muftach Ani She'ein Zebesof Beisi. So I'm confident, but Lashem Muftach Bitachon, that it's not my house. Alav Akasav Omer Mishmua Ra Lo Yira Lo Yira Nachol Libo Batuach Bashem. A person will not be afraid of Shmua Ra'a. A person's lev is straight, steady, and batuach b'Hashem. It says moral, v'davar zeh yeshmua ra'a kasher hu shameya davar pit'om inyan shehu ra. So if you hear something that's ostensibly bad suddenly, you walk into the city and you hear a commotion, that's an immediate and unexpected event, which is bad. So it's inconceivable that if a person has the proper midas habitachon, that something so sudden is going to happen to him. But if it's an incremental build up of something negative, the kevan shalaba b'pam achas rak maat maat bizman ena bitachon yachalama negazeh shalayava davar ra maat maat shekachu anagas olam shenimsa bohara. So there is this caveat the moral has that when we say it's inconceivable that a baal bitachon would experience something that's ra, that's only in a very acute fashion. That it's inconceivable that suddenly your house is going to go up in smoke, but a rocket's going to fall on your house. But the derech ha'olam is that certain negative things do build up over time, and that, it sounds like, is not a chisaron in bitachon, or even the most pristine baal bitachon may still be affected by incremental ra, because that's considered a hanahagas ha'olam. So anything that is acute, that wouldn't happen to a baal bitachon. So that's what Hillel says, that shmua ra muftach she'ena b'zok beis. Okay, shmua ra hu kamo pega she'yifka ba'adam pisob. So that's like a missile that falls in your house. And that wouldn't happen to a baal bitachon. But something that happens incremental, that is conceivable that even a baal bitachon would be affected by that. So this caveat you don't find in the Muna Bitachon that we read last time. So how this fits into the big picture, I'm not quite sure, but the morale does seem to have this carve-out, which I guess could explain a certain amount of situations where one would be bothered. If it's a case that a real baal bitachon can never be affected by anything that's ra, so puk chazi, that essentially means that we kamat don't have any baal bitachon in the world, which could be. But if you take the extreme approach that a real baal bitachon, anything that happens is going to be latov, so then you have to contend with the ostensible realities that doesn't always seem to be the case, unless we'll assume that no one really is a baal bitachon. Even with the morale's carve out, you have to contend with the acute phenomena that also sometimes happen to people that we may believe to be baal bitachon, unless they're not really baal bitachon. And then even, however, the mechaber muna bitachon got out of the Shema Yigram Bechev Yaakov Avinu, so you're going to say Yaakov Avinu also wasn't a baal bitachon, so he tries to get out of that. but you have to contend with that. With that also, there's a story in the Tanu Asa Musar, the classic work about the Musar movement, authored by Rabbi Dov Katz. So in volume one, he has a few pages stories about Reb Zundel of Salant and his bitachon, that nothing stopped him. If he believed something was the right thing to do, then that would happen. So he tells a story about Reb Zundel Salant, that when his daughter was of marriageable age, he was impoverished beyond belief. There's not even any bread in the house. But he said he had bitachon that Hashem will find a Talmid Chacham Gadol Shebigdolim for his daughter to marry. And he had his eyes on Shmuel Salant. Shmuel Salant had married young. It says here that he was 13 years old when he got married. And the shidduch didn't work out. So after 3 years, Shmuel Salant divorced his first wife. And Reb Zundel Salant, we're not related, they just both lived in Salant. So Zundel decided that he wanted Shmuel Salant as a son-in-law, even though there was no way in the world he'd get him, because number one, his financial situation was impossible, and it wasn't happening. So they suggested various shidduchim for his daughter, who's already marriageable age. And the word went out that Shmuel Salant was about to get engaged to someone else. But something happened to prevent that from coming to fruition, because Shmuel Salant insisted that he wouldn't get remarried until until the woman that he had divorced married first. It wasn't appropriate for him to get remarried before his ex-wife got remarried. So Reb Zundel still held on to the belief that he would get Shmuel Salant as son-in-law. And b'mikra, it happened to be that Shmuel Salant's father came to the same town where Reb Zundel was, and the local rabbi saw this as a hashkacha, that this is meant to be, and he told this to Reb Zundel, and then somehow they worked out that the shidduch could happen, and the shidduch happened. He has various stories like that about Reb Zundel Salant. But to demonstrate the extreme of how this type of bitachon is supposed to work in practice, he has the following story about Reb Yisrael Salanter. That Reb Yisrael Salanter gave drashas, and once he was giving a drasha about midas habitachon, and a certain construction guy came over to him and asked, "Is that really true what you're saying? That if you have proper bitachon, then whatever you want will happen, and you have no worry in the world?" And Reb Yisrael Salanter said, "Of course, I take responsibility," said Reb Yisrael Salanter, "that if you have proper bitachon, you will get 10,000 ruble without having to lift a finger." So this construction man went home. He quit his job. He sat all day at home and said tillim all day. And he was waiting through this midas habitachon for the 10,000 ruble to appear. Days passed, weeks passed, he has no more money, no more savings, no more bread, a starving wife and children, and he's still sitting there with his bitachon that the 10,000 ruble are going to appear. So when the famine is unbearable for his wife and his family, his wife says to him, "Go back to Rizal Salanter and ask what's going on. Why was the haftacha not fulfilled?" So the guy goes to Yisrael Salanter, he explains the situation, and Yisrael says that, "I believe Amunah Shlema that what I said is correct, that if you have bitachon, you'll get the 10,000 ruble. But if you don't have the patience to wait, then I'll make you a proposition. I'm so convinced that you'll get the 10,000 ruble that I'm willing to lend you 5,000 ruble now. So when you get your 10,000 ruble, you'll pay me back the 5,000 ruble." So the guy jumped at the opportunity. Great deal. Sure, I'll take the 5,000 ruble and I'll give you back the 5,000 when I get my 10,000. So Rizal said, nope, gotcha. You see from here that you clearly don't have bidachon, because if you had bidachon, then you wouldn't be accepting my deal to take the 5,000 ruble. So that's if you don't have full bitachon, then nothing's going to work. So that's the kind of midas habitachon of this school, which hard to parse exactly where one falls in his allegiance to such bitachon. Okay, so next time maybe we'll discuss some of the other issues or ways to address the issues that this approach to bitachon raises in terms of how the world works, and then try to circle back to the first approach and try to come to some understanding of things.